Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, January 8th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXVII, the seventh paragraph. Of course, an alcoholic ought to be freed, through one paragraph ending, before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit, commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Loretta M. Readers of the text, Sherry M., Dana P. will read page 164, and our backup reader, R. The reference number for Sunday, January 7th, is 21,013. That's 21013. And for this morning, Monday, January 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,014. That's 21014. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Laura L.W., and Lois P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service, Dawn. I am Joanne L. in Rhode Island, and I'm working on recovery right now. And especially the newcomers, welcome. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And I'll now ask Loretta M. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, Dawn. It's Loretta H. from North Carolina. Thank you all, along with my precious God, and especially the newcomer who is saving my life. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, first, group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and proceeds divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you for letting me do so.
Thank you so much, Loretta H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XXVII, the seventh paragraph of course, an alcoholic ought to be freed through one paragraph ending before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit. We'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. I'll now ask Sherry M. to begin reading.
Good morning. My name is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered in Wyoming. Of course, an alcoholic ought to be freed from his physical cravings for liquor, and this often requires a definite hospital procedure before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit. What a great paragraph. Here's the thing. I had a distinct physical desire to consume my alcoholic foods beyond my capacity to control it. And it defied all rules of common sense. I had an abnormal craving for my alcoholic foods. I knew it was dangerous, but I could not stop. My mind is the problem, and I can't arrest the problem unless I stop ingesting the substance. This is a cunning, baffling, and powerful disease. In recovery, cravings mean anything from mental or physical desires to use my substance. Can be behaviors or food in this case, because we're in Overeaters Anonymous. Cravings can happen anywhere, anytime, and can be triggered by even the briefest thoughts about using my substance. They are referring to, if I look at the paragraph right before at the very end, it's giving me my promise and my instruction here. It says that these recovered people believe in themselves and still more in the power, which I have circled, the power, capital P, which will pull these chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. And then they go on to talk about being freed from my physical craving. So I must, in order to get this power, access to the power, because this is a spiritual malady, and it talks about in our book that once I straighten out spiritually, then the physical and mental will follow. But I can't get access to that power because my higher power was a gentleman and waited in the corner for me to say, here, take it all, take all the food, I don't care. And that's when God came in and gave me the power and the ability to get through one day at a time without killing myself with food. A craving is so powerful, it will be beyond human if I don't stop ingesting it. I'm going to also share something that might be controversial, and I don't know, but I'm not trying to do that. But I do have experience being an alcoholic, almost 20 years sober, and I know that this book, when they talk about like a 2 days, there's often that going around Overeaters Anonymous. I've had sponsors say, we have to wait 2 days. And I don't believe that that is the same for Overeaters Anonymous. That's not my experience. This is for alcoholics that could have the DTs and needed to be on drugs in the hospitals, what they're talking about, because they could have died from the detox. With food, it could take me, 4 months or 3 months to get that full stuff out of my system and to get detox. So I personally believe that working with someone almost immediately, of course, if they've just binged their brains out and they're calling me, I might wait just till the next morning to make sure that they want to go through with everything that's required for that lucid moment to say, okay, I know you were desperate when you were binging, but are you still desperate the next day? Okay, and I will I will pass with that, and I think we need to just, I work with people immediately. So can't wait to hear from all of you, and welcome if you're new.
Thank you so much, Sherry M., for getting us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Tom L.
Tom
Liz
L.
E.
Was that Liz E.?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. And then there was a gentleman's voice. Who was that?
Rob H.
Rob H. Who else would like to share? Press star one if you'd like to share.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Tom L., Liz E., Rob H., and Deborah G. Tom L., please go ahead and get us started.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Glad to be here. Glad to be sober today. Wasn't the case most of my life. This doctor is talking about hospitalization. Not surprisingly, that's his business. He patches up alcoholics. The founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, of course, famously in his story, got sober in a hospital, could not stop himself. He had to be separated, withdrawn from alcohol. Using that procedure, his doctor was the doctor whose opinion we're reading. Our co-founder, now he didn't get sober in a hospital, but his sponsor was living with him in his house, Bill W., and he then became the first director of an alcoholic ward, with a few days sober. He was helping alcoholics in a hospital, so it's not surprising that they kind of emphasize this. Now, for a compulsive overeater like myself, I don't have the DTs, as was mentioned. I get loopy. I get very dreamy. I live in fantasy with food. Food allows me to live in fantasy, which blocks me off from a spiritual solution. It's just the way it is. So there are hospitals available to compulsive overeaters. They're very expensive and usually not covered by medical care insurance. So I kind of had to get my own hospital together. Luckily, I had faced a crisis, and my life had become much simpler because I had a job. I was not living at home at the time. My moral condition was such that I was not really fit for human company. The only person who would let me live with her was my mother. So I had nothing on the calendar. I called my sponsor at 6:30 in the morning. We went through the big book. I committed my food. I went to work. I went to meetings. I came home. I went to bed. And that went on for weeks and a couple months. I had burned down everything that could have distracted me. And then, of course, I had to repair my marriage, which was a lot of work, which I knew I couldn't do drunk. So that was my hospital. With compulsive overeating, it's like I'm fat. That's the problem. It kind of hides the fact that I have a problem with a substance. I have a substance abuse problem. I need to be withdrawn. Because of its power over me, I can't be doing anything else. And in a hospital, you really can't be going to the movies. You're not going to people's birthday parties. You're not going out to, events because you need to be cared for. And that I put together for myself, and I encourage my sponsees to do, don't do anything, just stop doing everything else. Focus on this. It's the best chance you got. So anyway, that's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tom L. from California. Liz E., please share with us, followed by Rob H., and please let us know where you're calling from, if you'd like. Star 1, Liz.
Hi, this is Liz E. from New York. I had a thought. I was working with someone who was really struggling and just felt so hopeless. And I came across this very passage. And, you know, there's so much to be said about putting the food down. You know, you put the food down completely, then you work the steps. Well, yeah, I understand that. But there's some people who just can't. And, you know, we need to give them a 48-hour window to put the food down and work with them. But there's also grace for those who struggle. And the part of that reading, and I don't have it right in front of me, talks about, you know, the maximum benefit of working the steps after the food is removed from our bodies. But there is benefit still of, you know, keep coming back, still connecting with others, you know, just keep coming back. Even if you can't put the food down, you know, there's benefit in doing what you can do. So, you know, for anyone that's really struggling with putting the food down, just keep coming back. You know, definitely there's more benefit working the steps and putting the food down, but sometimes, I mean, if we weren't compulsive overeaters, we'd be able to put the food down. And some people just can't put the food down. And that's a tough place to be, but I just want to encourage those that are struggling. You know, the maximum benefit is when you put the food down, but there's still benefit in coming back, making phone calls, staying connected with others. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz E. from New York. Rob H., please share with us, followed by Deborah G. And just want to remind people, if you're just joining us, we are on page XXVII, the bottom of the page there, seventh paragraph, where it starts with, of course, an alcoholic ought to be freed, through that one paragraph ending, before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit. So Rob H., please share with us, followed by Deborah G., and then I'll take some more names.
Thanks. Rob H., also here, recovered, New York. I would just say, sometimes, this passage, I don't know, makes me think, because I used to go to therapy, and, but that was while I was still eating a lot of food, and so maybe that was part of the reason I didn't get much benefit from therapy. It felt good to go to therapy, you know, psychological, you know, measures and stuff. I guess it felt good at times, but it didn't give me what I wanted. I think the only thing that's been working for me, and sometimes I don't take this thing seriously because I don't remember that I was, you know, over 400 pounds and then started working with somebody and started taking it seriously, I guess, more serious than I was. I mean, I you know, as far as putting down, you know, ingredients, you know, the first time I went in OA, I heard people say, oh, I went to a retreat where they didn't do any type of sweeteners at all. I was like, what the hell? How would you ever do something like that? And but then, you know, I left OA and came back. And just, of course, I didn't have a sponsor in either. But, as far as this passage, though, the definite hospital procedure, I didn't really have, maybe look up what the first sheriff said, you know, about the 2 or 3 days, because somebody on, you know, coming off alcohol is different. You know, I looked up online and there's just a bunch of different articles, you know, saying different things about how long you should be off of this or that or whatever. And I don't know. I know somebody else, everybody quotes him, but, you know, it's like, get a sponsor with the steps. That's what helped me, getting a sponsor and working the steps and reading through the book and talking to people, going to meetings, doing outreach, and steps all day. So, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Rob H. Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, good morning, Dawn, and thank you again so much for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And thank you all for your share so far, 12-stepping me this morning. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us today. And I was remembering when I finally woke up and saw the reality of what I was doing with my alcoholic food that I wouldn't give up for years and years. I just kept holding on and playing around and trying to control it. And I said, I can't do this anymore. I saw what I was doing. Fork in one hand, substance in the other. Every single bite was that alcoholic food on there. And I put it down and I got myself a OA Vision sponsor. I was going through a workshop at the time for a year. Maybe that helped me too to wake up. And she took me through the steps. And it was that day I had put that food down. And the next day she started taking me through the steps because I have no power. Nope, I have no power. And I had to get honest with myself and see that I was a compulsive overeater and say it in my heart. Embrace it within me. Take it in from my head to my heart, down into my feet in the behavior. And put that food down. And it was just like when I did that first step, it worked me. But still, I had no power. So I had to go through the rest of the steps to get some power. And that's what I do in working with others. Is if they're struggling and can't put that food down, you know, and they keep doing the phenomenon of craving, they're going to keep relapsing. And so the only thing I can do is work with them on the day that they're not in the food and work on trying to get them through those steps to get power, because that's what they are needing, because they have no power. And that's why they keep going back to the food, because they have no power. It's just, it's really, oh, I don't know, an experience. And so I try the best that I can do to help them. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Bruce
Sylvia
E.
F.
Rita S. in Florida.
And was that Sylvia S.?
Rita.
Sylvia F. is in Fox, yes.
Sylvia F. is in Fox. And then Rita, was that
S.
Rita?
Rita
What's your
S.
initial?
F. S. is like in Sam in Florida.
Perfect. Who else would like to share?
Nancy J.
Nancy J. Anyone else in this lineup? All right, we'll go with that lineup. I have Bruce E., Sylvia F., Rita S., and Nancy J. Bruce E., please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, moderator. Thank you, everybody on the line. I was going to thought I was going to try to turn this into a men's meeting, but we didn't get enough male voices. But I appreciate the other guys and gals that have shared here on this line. Well, just to tell my story here quickly about this, concerning this hospital stay. So I was a year before I got into vision, that'd be 6 years ago. I was on a stand in an RV up in the mountains. They're up in Maine. And I thought the people that where I stayed cheated me on the amount I was paying. Thought they overcharged me. So I get even with them. So I think I ate around 60 pancakes that next morning. They had a buffet breakfast, and put sugar-free syrup on it and Splenda all over it and drank about a pot of coffee. And the next day I did the same thing with sausage and biscuits. So that was a friggin' disaster. And that started me off and on a screwed up eating disorder for the next year. I couldn't put 2 weeks together. So I finally, my life was so screwed up and unmanageable and messed up on the food that I got on this line, fortunately, and got a sponsor. And he said to me, first thing he said, how many days you got sober? I didn't know about this hospital stay thing. I said, I got 5 days. He says, okay. I called him at 10 in the morning. He said, call me back at noon. Have the big book ready. We're reading the doctor's opinion. So we did, and I didn't feel like I had any connection with my higher power at all. And right away, when we started working together and reading together, I started feeling the connection come back, and I started feeling the obsession and compulsion start to lift, which was just absolutely amazing. I was at a little cabin up in North Carolina by myself, fortunately, and so I was that was kind of my hospital stay right there, you know, and. Man, you talk about difficult week by myself up there. I just had abstinent food, but every day was like, am I going to quit today or is he going to fire me today? You know, all day long I'd think he's going to fire me. Then the next day, all day long, I was thinking I was going to quit. You know, you talk about a detox. You know, I mean, that was really a detox period of time there for about a week. And I really needed that, you know, to really get sober. And I just read the big book, and I just talked to him, and I just talked to others, and I got on the meetings. And, you know, thank you. I just stayed with all of that, doing all that kind of stuff, and it worked. And I'm recovered now in Florida. This is Bruce E. Thank you. I passed.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Sylvia F., please share with us, followed by Rita S.
Good morning, fellows. This is Sylvia F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon today. And this is such a favorite paragraph of mine when I've sponsored. This is a paragraph that I've often gone back to because we often say, you know, as a sponsor, you know, it's always been the dilemma of at what point is the substance down enough to be able to think and to be able to understand what the book is saying and to be able to understand your own feelings and to be able to navigate. And so in my experience as a sponsor, if they wake up the next morning, at that moment, I consider them abstinent or they consider themselves abstinent, and we start on the doctor's opinion together. And in my experience, if we could rapidly going through the doctor's opinion, that gives us a little bit of time of abstinence, and then we go right into the steps. So, I heard from Lori and other people that right now we work so hard because our disease is like a tsunami ready to come over the top of us, and so we're doing the work to stay out ahead, and that is my experience. And I've been in program a long time. I've been recovered a long time. And the nuance of the addiction is so interesting, and I love how it's been expressed this morning, is that I have a lot of stressful things going on in my life right now, and I don't care how long I've been recovered. If I'm headed over to my son's house, which there's a lot of stuff going on over there, I do still have the thought of, I don't know if I can make it without stopping at the mini mart. And I love knowing that, because that allows me to know that I am the real deal. I'm an addict. And it doesn't, so I have neutrality about my food, but it doesn't mean that I won't still have that thought. And one of the other things that I discovered long into this, you know, like, is that absolutely I cannot have sugar. And I have to be careful about fruit sugar because, it will trigger me, definitely. It is the thing I want to do instead of feeling my feelings or making decisions or being fully present. I would rather just numb it out. And one of the things I discovered is that there's such a difference between sugar and chocolate, and chocolate is its own problem. It doesn't affect my blood sugar, but it makes me freaking crazy. And so I just find that the gift is knowing that if I don't have the amnesia every single time of like, no, that it'll be fine. I'll be fine. If I can remember, and every time I have that thought, go, oh yeah, it's still me. I'm not cured. It helps me stay working the steps. It helps me stay connected to my sponsor and to God and to all of you. And perfect timing. Thank you so much for your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Sylvia F. from Oregon. Rita S., please share with us, followed by Nancy J.
Good morning, everybody. This is Rita S. in Florida. I really don't quite know what I'm going to say, but I'll tell you, I was in and out for years, and actually today my husband died 3 years ago. Well, after that, I decided I didn't want to live either. I just ate and ate and ate and ate, and in and out and in and out, and never surrendered until one day, I swear I was face down in that food and realized I am really, really sick. It's not everybody. I mean, I pointed the finger at everybody else, and, you know, and I thought, if I could get this weight off, I wouldn't need any of this. Finally, I'm in recovery for 8 months, and no, I can never go away from this. I often thought, like people used to say, if God comes in your life and you leave him, he'll never leave you. And it's the same thing. I think when you get into this and you really know you're sick, even if you go out there, you can't, I know I can't eat like a normal person because I know that I'm sick. You know, when I really finally accepted that truth and accepted God as the answer, then I knew I could step one foot at a time forward. And I'll tell you, it's been miraculous. I excuse me, got off of all diabetes medication. I'm only on blood pressure pills. I'm in my 70s and happy to say that it can be done, but the willingness has to be there. And I love what Harlan always says. It's not for those who want it and not for those who need it, but it's for those who do it. And I know, like, when I sponsor, I try to go easy on people, but you have to know, I guess, when there's enough and they're not ready. But I am so grateful for this program. It has given me a new life. Today is 3 years, and I feel happy, joyous, and free. And thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Rita S. And did you want to let us know where you're calling from?
Florida.
Oh, perfect. I think you said that. Thank you so much. Nancy J., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names. And just a quick reminder, we are on page XXVI, talking about that seventh paragraph at the way at the bottom of the page that starts with, of course, an alcoholic ought to be freed through one paragraph ending before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit. So Nancy J., please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Nancy J., recovered gratefully in California. And, I was just thinking about the hospitalization period and versus the isolating that when I was trying to diet without working the steps. I had been in program for years, and I
just trying to figure out how to do it without working, you know, how to get off the food and lose weight without doing the work. And I would stay home and, quote, diet, right? I could stick to my food if I stayed in the house or work, very controlled. But, you know, if I went anywhere, met anyone, went to someone's house, boom, right? And then the hospitalization period while working the steps is staying away from those substances, working the steps, using my tools, working on my spiritual life. And then I remember, this latest abstinence has been just over a year now. I'm so grateful. I remember thinking about going to my book club, which is every other month, abstinent, and I had so much anxiety. How am I going to go to this book club? You know, first of all, it's, you know, everybody has a glass of wine or two, and then someone will host, and what are they going to serve, and what the hell am I going to do? And the first time I was going to quit it. I can't do that. I got to live my life. And it's ended up here a year later. It's beautiful. I never, you know, obviously my book club sees the changes in my body, but they have all, you know, there's been some asking about what's going on, how you doing. And believe it or not, people before the book club will text me and say, hey, I'm going to serve this. Is there anything special I can do for you? And I have never, ever said, hey, I can't do this. I can't do that. I've just been quiet. And it's just amazing. It's just been a miracle for me. I'm so grateful that I could just go anywhere. I have the freedom to go anywhere and do anything I want. And I don't worry about the food. If there's something I can't eat, I don't eat it. No big deal. And nobody really cares. You may get one comment, but people are more interested in what they're eating. They really are. And, yeah, super grateful for that. And I think that's what I'm going to pass on that. Thank you all. So grateful for the program and for my life today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy J. from California. I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share?
Joe M. from Minnesota.
Joe M. from
Phoenix.
Minnesota.
Laura L. from Arkansas.
Laura L. from Arkansas. And there was another voice in there that I missed.
Dina A. New Jersey.
Dina A. New Jersey. And I'll take one more name.
Luann from Boise.
Luann from Boise. Okay. And I may not be able to, we may run out of time, but we'll see how it goes. Joe M. from Minnesota, please get us started.
Okay. Thank you for your service. Hi, my name is Joe, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Of course, an alcoholic ought to be free from his physical cravings for liquor before psychological measures can be of maximum benefit. I have never read this passage to mean that I am supposed to go be by myself to get off of my trigger foods before I start getting help from other people in the program. I've heard some instances where sometimes people are told, go be abstinent for 3 days or go be abstinent for a week and then call me. To me, that's like telling someone to just go be on a diet, which doesn't work for people like us, and that's why we're here. For me, when I got off of my trigger foods on my own, meaning even when I was in OA, before I admitted defeat, my abstinence never lasted. What I had to find out was I had to admit defeat, and then I was willing to get off of my trigger foods for the long haul. And so when they talk about the definite hospital procedure, those were medically supervised withdrawals from alcohol, where the person in the hospital was visited by what would become AA members. So the folks in the hospital were not alone in that. Not only did they have professional staff, they had members who were there 12-stepping them. And so when I think of what is my responsibility to help someone become free of their cravings for their binge foods, it's not letting them go and do it alone. It's being there with them to guide them through that as a part of the recovery process in step one. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan M. from Minnesota. Laura L., please share with us, followed by Dina. Star one, Laura.
Hi, this is Laura L., recovered for today in Arkansas. The first time I got food sober was about 6 years ago, and I did not require a hospital stay to do that. However, I relapsed during COVID, and I didn't get food sober again until 2 years ago. And even though I, you know, contacted my sponsor and I went back to my previous meal plan, I was working, you know, I was going to meetings, I was trying to work the steps, I couldn't get food sober again. And I kept coming back to this particular passage, and I decided that for me personally, I was going to either have to go inpatient, or when I found out how much that cost, I decided to recreate that for myself. And I had a friend who had a cabin in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma. And so I had the ability to communicate with others while I was out there, but I went out there with only my abstinent food. And I had a friend that was committed to taking my calls each day to make sure that I was okay. And I had my sponsor. And I had this meeting, which got me through that 9 days that I spent out there by myself. But I had them drop me off without a vehicle. Now, that's just for me personally. That might sound really extreme to someone else, or other people maybe are like me the first time that I got food sober where I didn't have to do that. But for me personally, I felt like I had to do that this time. And I have now been food sober for, it'll be 2 years in March. I'm so grateful to the God of my understanding for helping me get food sober again and keeping me that way. And so grateful to this program and all my fellows and to my sponsor. I couldn't have done it without my sponsor. When I work with others, it depends on the person, but there has to come a point. This is a killing disease. It's no less of a killing disease than narcotic addiction or alcohol addiction. I have had so many medical problems that arose when I wasn't food sober. I know that I can die from this disease. And so at some point, if I am ready to recover, then I have to put down the food. And so that's how I work with others, is that there is grace and there is leniency, because I believe the God of my understanding gives grace and leniency. But at some point, you know, I have to work step three, where it says I have to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I love all of you guys. Welcome to all the newcomers, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura L. from Arkansas. Dina, please share with us and give me your initial. And
hi.
Go ahead.
Dina A., New Jersey, gratefully recovering today. This is a perfect paragraph for me today. Around 5 months ago, I cleaned up my abstinence with a vision sponsor and gave up food that I had been considering abstinence. You know, people on abstinent food plans do eat those foods, but they were triggers for me. And the past couple of days, I've been going through some stuff in my life that's bringing up emotions, and I don't really like uncomfortable emotions. I really don't. And I've been looking at those foods. I'm grateful that I'm not looking at other foods that are completely not abstinent, but I've been eating my food plan as I have the last 5 months, and just looking at those foods. And I know those are foods that could take the edge off for me of my uncomfortable emotions. But as it says here, like, I could choose to do that today. And if I do that, my program is going way downhill, my connection to higher power. I have a choice here. I'm, like, at a great opportunity when my emotions are more uncomfortable than usual. I have a choice to pull my higher power closer because that's the chance I've got right now with my heart open, with my emotions raw. So I get to use this program to the next level. Or I get to do numbing my emotions, giving up, pushing my higher power away, and saying, I think I'm going to do this myself because I just need relief right now. So I'm grateful that today, so what I'm hearing in this paragraph is not the hospitalization of the beginning of program, but today I'm going to go to the hospital the same way that anybody with a disease might have to spend a day or two or a week in a hospital here and there, not to get diagnosed on the original diagnosis, on the original, you know, care package, but just to manage symptoms when they flare up. So today you might hear wind. I'm out on a walk. I am actually sharing on this meeting because today is a hospital day for me. It's a day where I'm going to try to be gentle with myself instead of the old-fashioned way of beating myself up when I become uncomfortable, beating myself up when I look at food and be like, I thought we're past that. Why are you doing that again? No. Today I'm going to be like, okay, I've got this thing. I'm a compulsive eater, and food looks like it will take the edge off for me. It's lying to me, and I know what to do today. I'm going to have a day with much more outreach calls, maybe more meetings, definitely sit down and writing on my steps, and just put the other things that I have to do on my to-do list aside for today, because today is not the day for me to do those things. Thank you so much. Thank you all for being here. Yes.
Thank you. Dina A. from New Jersey. And we have about a 45-second share, Luann from Idaho, if you'd like to take that.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Don. Yeah, I'm Luann from Boise, Idaho. And I was just going to say what my experience was. I really believe in the hospitalization period. For the first 5 years in OA, I was half abstinent. I was reading the book, and amazing changes did happen. So I do encourage people to keep coming back. But I think these changes are a testament to the power of the program, that God can take the tiniest bit of willingness and do amazing things, not that it's as good as it gets. But when I was finally desperately on my hands and knees, I put together 4 days of abstinence and worked the steps abstinently, and then I was actually recovered. So anyway, just welcome to the newcomers, and keep coming back. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Luann, for closing out the meeting. And we're now going to thank you to everyone who shared. We're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Thank you. Good morning, Dawn. Dana P. in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day and who is still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you on.